exponentially, and more people were found to be infected with COVID, the U.S. president proposed a solution. "We need to slow down testing for the virus," he said. "If we test a lot less people, we'll have a lot less cases. The more testing you do, the more cases you will find." And he was widely mocked for this, since not testing people won't lower the virus. It just means you won't know how many people have it, and you'll be in the dark. But the thing is, some people prefer to be in the dark. Do you ever feel that way about your own life? Do you ever not want to dig so deeply because you're afraid of what you'll find? Maybe you sense that your marriage isn't going that well, so you throw yourself into your work, spending more time away from home trying to avoid the problems. Maybe you don't spend a lot of time thinking about how your faith life is going. After all, on the surface at least, life is going pretty well. Why ruin a good thing? Why try to ask too many hard questions? And there are even Christians who argue that this is what we ought to do. We shouldn't wonder about our faith or question our life. After all, we know that God is the covenant God. We know that He's promised to forgive us our sins. So don't ask too many questions. Why cause doubt? Christians are called to trust God, not always question things. And that sounds very pious, but the Bible makes very clear that this is not a Christian attitude. For starters, Jesus tells us not to be afraid of asking questions, as long as we're willing to submit to the truth of God's word. "The truth will set you free," he says. If you want to be free, you have to know the truth, not live in blind ignorance. And our text also tells us to examine ourselves, and not just a surface examination. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, who are a Christian church made up of believers like us. He says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." And if we're going to ask questions, if we're going to question things in life, this is the biggest question that we can ask. I'm sitting here in church. I've been a believer for many years, but do I really believe? Am I truly a Christian? Am I actually in the faith? And the reason that the Holy Spirit calls on the Corinthians to examine themselves is that in the Corinthian church, they were hypocrites. Chapter 11 calls them super apostles, but it's being sarcastic. They're actually, as chapter 11 also says, they're actually false apostles disguising themselves as apostles. They're pretending to be apostles of Christ and pretending to speak with Christ's authority. And in order to make themselves heard, they make themselves out to be very great. They boast about all their skills and all their wisdom and all their power. And in contrast to these so-called super apostles, the Apostle Paul looks very meek and foolish and weak. But as he writes throughout this letter, that is exactly what Christians should look like. As he says in verse 4 of our chapter, "We are weak in Christ, but in dealing with you, we live with Him by the power of God." And so he calls us as Christians not to make ourselves great and to boast of our power or our abilities. And so he's warning the Corinthians that any of them who follow these super apostles, who boast of themselves, who look down on Paul and his teaching and authority, they are hypocrites. They don't really know Christ, since His power is made perfect in our weakness. Any Christian who does not recognize themselves as weak does not know the grace of Christ. Knowing Christ means that we realize our sin and our unworthiness, so that we come to Him broken and sorrowful and empty-handed. He was crucified in weakness, the apostle writes in verse 4. He was crucified to suffer the punishment for our sins, but He was raised to life by the power of God so that we can be cleansed from our sins through faith in Him. And it's not just the Corinthians who are in danger of pride, of exalting themselves and being impressed via their own goodness. The danger of pride and self-righteousness is a constant one for Christians. We're very quick to forget our weakness. We're very quick to forget the great number and the terrible wickedness of our sins. We often begin to think that God loves us because of us, because of our obedience and our faithfulness and our goodness. And so we are called to examine ourselves to remember our weakness, to kill any pride or self-reliance or power that we think we have in ourselves. And that is what we can expect to find as we examine ourselves: sin and weakness. We'll see the same sins coming back again over and over, despite that we know better. But perhaps ironically, we might actually be in the most danger when God in His grace allows us to defeat sin. Because when we manage to resist the sin, how quickly we become puffed up with pride in ourselves. We have done it. We've destroyed that sin. We might even start to look down on those who struggle with the same sin that we were struggling with only a short time ago. And so in order to prevent this pride from taking root, the Lord calls us to examine ourselves even after we have defeated sin in our life. And such self-examination will always reveal more sins if it is done properly, because there are always more sins in our heart. And so self-examination is always humbling. It will always show us as sinful and weak and powerless in ourselves, that even when we think we stand, we fall if we trust ourselves. But that self-examination reveals our weakness and our sin doesn't have to destroy our faith. In fact, such godly self-examination cannot destroy our faith. It might destroy a weak faith, one without roots, one that does not really know Christ, but that was not a true faith to begin with. With true faith, a greater awareness of our sin will actually drive us more strongly back to Christ. And that is what true faith is in the first place. Faith is to trust and depend on Christ with all of our heart. And so self-examination actually increases our faith, even when it shows us our sin, because we realize how much we need Jesus and how weak we are in ourselves and how we only have power in Him. And so we will more strongly throw ourselves on His salvation. And that's exactly Paul's point in our text when he tells the Corinthians, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. And then what does he expect them to find when they examine themselves? He says, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? That's what we ought to find when we examine ourselves. Yes, we will find weakness and sin, but we also will find Christ. Jesus Christ is in us. It is by His crucifixion that we are saved. It is by His life that we have life. It is not in ourselves. And so when we examine ourselves, confronted by our own weakness, we see that Christ is in us. We see how we are forgiven of our sins in His blood, and that we are strong in Christ when we are weak in ourselves. When we trust Him alone and fight against sin by His power. And so, deep self-examination, testing ourselves to see whether we are in the faith, it's not bad for our faith. It shows Jesus Christ in us all the more. So we ought not to be afraid to search our heart to see if we are in the faith. Because even when we search our heart and we end up shocked and grieved by the sins that we find there, we do not need to take that as evidence that we aren't Christians after all. In fact, it's just the opposite. Shock and horror at the wickedness of our sins is actually proof that Christ truly is in us and is working in us. But what about what the Holy Spirit says at the end of verse 5? He says, do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? If that's a possibility, if we might fail the test, isn't it better to do less testing or not to test at all? Well, in the first place, when the Apostle Paul writes these words, he knows deep down that they will pass. He's already assumed that in verse 5, and he kind of repeats that confidence throughout the chapter. As he talks about in verse 7, he says, we pray to God that you may not do wrong. And he talks about in verse 9, your restoration is what we pray for. And in verse 10, he's confident that they will have changed and repented by the time he comes. So the apostle knows that their self-examination might indeed reveal pride and sin and weakness, but he knows that they will repent. Why? This is not some sort of foolish hope without evidence. It's not even because he knows the Corinthians so well because he spent so long in Corinth. It's because the apostle Paul knows Christ. He knows that Christ is at work in them. And so he knows that they cannot fail to pass. That they will confront their sins, their pride. They will confront their false apostles and they will repent. And so he can order them, command them to test themselves because he knows that they will pass. But in the second place, even if you would fail the test, as some of them might, as the super apostles certainly might, that would mean that Jesus Christ is not in you if you fail the test. It would mean that your faith is not actually real. It might mean that you have been a Pharisee the whole time. You thought you were a Christian. That you were serving God in your own strength, relying on your own understanding, and you never actually truly trusted Christ. And so your faith was not real. And if that's true, you need to repent. Because the Bible is severe to warn all Pharisees that they will not inherit the kingdom of God unless they repent and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Or perhaps you might fail the test because you don't actually care about your sin. You will examine yourself and you will see a lot of sins, but it won't bring you to sorrow and repentance because you could not care less. You're just in church out of tradition or to please others, but you don't actually believe and you live your life as you please. And then also you need to repent or you will be cast into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth with all the other unbelievers. And the point is, even if then you would fail the test, self-examination is still a blessing because it will teach you that you need to repent, that your faith was not genuine. And as you do such a test, you still have time to actually repent, to truly confess your sins, to trust in Christ alone and find salvation in His name. And so what our chapter teaches us is that self-examination is always a blessing. And it always must lead us to repentance. Whether it's for the 100th or 1,000th time in our life, or whether it is for the first time in our life. As self-examination reveals our sin and weakness, it leads us to repent of our sins and to come to Christ. It teaches us, if our faith always was genuine, it reminds us again of our great need for Christ, so that we once again cast ourselves on His grace. And then we'll be reminded that Jesus Christ truly is in us. That in ourselves we are so weak, but we are strong in Him. In ourselves we are so sinful, but our sins are covered by His blood. And it will remind us that His grace is sufficient for us. And so, brothers and sisters, let us then examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith, to test ourselves, so that we will realize that Jesus Christ is in us. Or if not, that we will truly repent, come to Christ, and then Jesus Christ truly will be in us. Amen.